Fellowship. Thing is, we're talking once again Resurrection Sunday, isn't it? And we're ready for that this morning. Yeah. Praise God. Hey, there goes the roof. Okay. Praise God. All right, he is risen. Praise God. That's awesome, isn't it? It's an awesome feeling today. Just today, but you know, we should carry with every day of our life. That's all we have work to do, amen. Ongoing work. So we just bow ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're just in awesome of your presence. As humble servants, Father God, just draw us to yourself. I still remember I was thinking about the reading this morning. It talked about Mary Magdalene and Mary were at the gravesite, and who shows up? The angel of the Lord says, yeah, okay, move the rock. Now go in and see. He's not there. That's awesome. Okay. Now go back and tell the disciples on your way to Galilee. And who shows up before it? Jesus. First thing he says, rejoice. Kind of visualize that. It's an awesome thing. And by the time, you know, the things too, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He continues doing the things. He's faithful. See, on that third day, according to the scriptures, he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. Intervening, he's with the Father, intervening for each and every one of us, because he's concerned about you. I don't care where you've been, he says. And that's more of a concern this morning. I think God has really spoke to our hearts. I think the people online, or anybody hasn't come to know the Lord's Lord and Savior of their life, that is salvation too. So there's a rejoicing in you, Father, what you've done on that cross. I know it was a terrible day on Friday, but you did it for that individual or that family, all of us. Oh, there's so much rejoicing here, so much of an awesome Holy Spirit. And you says two more again in your name. He is right here. He's in the midst, right here. And he will draw you to him, because today is that. And the thing is, you know, all you have to do, and also because he cares about you, is that individual, those people, not yet. More things to come. First thing is starting out. First comes first. You admit you're a sinner. Kidding me? I was a sinner. I didn't know, when he was knocking on my heart, I didn't open that door right away. So I had to suffer in that muck and mire for a while. And then I opened it up. I let him come in. You know, I thanked him to go on the cross for me to take that past, present, future sin. There's no sin that's big enough. You know, he doesn't, you know, the thing is, especially if you're down in that muck and mire, you've got to look, extend his hand out. He says, when you're ready, grasp my hand, pull you out. I had that muck and mire. You're a new creation as you receive me as Lord. And then you ask, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord. And you will. He's faithful. But you know, when you're thinking, oh, I've done this, I've done that in my life. God says, I don't care. Let me do the cleanup. I'll clean you up just like cleaning up Tom. Do that. Do that for him. He's a loving God. You know, and I know he passed the mouth, his mind, his heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him like rivers of living water. He's got a message that is anointed, and he's going to tell us, I'm going to share that. Receive what we have to receive today. And you know, on those highways and byways, and I get that individual maybe hasn't quite come. You're just saying, you're probably thinking about it. Look at all the things outside in the world that's going on. Maybe you got issues in your family. Maybe the job is a marriage. There's finances. Everything you can think of. And it says, I can't handle it anymore. Well, God says he's reaching out that hand. He says, you know, you've come to know me, Lord and Savior. He says, okay, cast those to me. I'll walk with you like a friend or a brother. I'll decide, we won't forsake you. I don't forsake you at all. That's one promise. There's many more to come. But you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We will rejoice and be in it. So we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunities. We thank you for the people that are coming to know you today. Today is that day. That appointed time is now. So if you received him as Lord and Savior, before we praise and worship King of Kings, Lord and Lords, he is so worthy of our praises. Amen. So the thing is, follow up. Touch base with Pastor Matt Worrell. If you want, give him a call. God said all the Bibles here, so he's going to hand one out. But call him. And here, if there's anybody here, you touch base with leadership here. We're going to have, you know, you'll read Blaine's book of life. And the thing is, too, once again, it was a choice. You accept this life or you reject it. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? There's some more questions. It's kind of floating all around here because it's all part of it. But the thing is, too, the man is, he came down as man and he died on the cross for that particular sin, past, present, future sin, once again. And he'll do it for you and he'll clean up. All you have to do is say, and I ask you this question, will you know Christ as Lord and Savior? We ask his name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all bless all. If you can find your seats. Hallelujah. Let me try this again to find our seats. Praise God. Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, we had the privilege of baptizing 15 people. And last week we handed out some of the certificates, baptismal certificates, and I've got a few left today. So I have one here for Lisa the Cook. What? And I also have one for Tyler. Hey! Congratulations. And Amelia. Yeah. One for you. Now, Jessica. Yeah. Hey.
Yes.
And Aaliyah. Hey, there you go. Now I think I've got everybody. Praise God. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 24. I read a portion of this morning during worship, but I'm going to read it again.
Yay.
Because I'll tell you, if we have a grave that has still got a body in it, then we're, as Paul said, the most pitiable of people. But because the grave is empty, we have a relationship, not if we don't have a religion, but we have a relationship with God, God the Father.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Why? Because the relationship was opened up for us by the blood that was shed upon the cross.
Right.
Because the privilege of being able to know the Father was handed to us by Jesus on the cross. And it all was cemented as truth when Jesus came out of that grave.
That's right.
Victorious over even death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Paul said the sting of death is sin. But thanks be unto God.
Yes.
Pay the price for your sin and for my sin.
Yes.
Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
Come on, people. Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
We're set for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Has no more sting to the believer.
Amen.
The believer doesn't fear death. No. Let me rephrase that. The believer should not fear death. Although there are believers that do fear death. You do, okay? It's a real fear. But God did not give you a spirit of fear.
No, he didn't.
But he gave you the spirit of power. And of love, sound mind.
Yes.
You see, fear rob you of sound mindedness.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I see people, they get so captivated by fear, lose their common sense. I've been there. Anybody else been there?
Been there. Yes.
We forget the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And my goodness gracious, If death could not hold him in the grave, then he's got the power of whatever it is you're fearing.
Yes.
He's got the power over it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we don't have fear. We should not bow. Let me put it that way. We have it that Satan does everything he can to heap it upon us. The only thing that believers to fear is God himself.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And that means to have a high, high, honorable respect for our God the Father, who loved us so much that he gave you and he gave me his Son.
Right.
The best gift he could possibly give.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and other women with them came to them, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord. And it happened as they were perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the sinful men and be crucified, and the day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Marveling to himself.
Right.
See, this morning at the early morning service by the pond at Rick and Jackie's, it was just absolutely beautiful morning out there. It wasn't snowing. It wasn't sleet and freezing like it has many years before. It was, the sun was starting to come out, you know, and even geese came flying over. Yeah, that was really cool. We got to watch them land, you know, on the water. And we sang some old hymns, and thank you, Rob, and thank you, Trent, for leading us in music there. And we just worshiped the Lord. And then Rick shared with some thoughts on meditations on devotionals that he'd been reading. And one of those devotionals, I forget who it was, Max Lucado or was it, that spoke of the fact that rock, that big that covered the tomb, you know, it took men to really push on that to close it up. But it just took an angel to roll it away. But you know, that angel didn't come to roll that stone away to let Jesus out. That stone was rolled away so that the women and Peter could look in. And they could walk in there and see, he ain't here. He is risen. Risen, as he said. I don't care what stone may be in your life. That may be very difficult for you, and maybe even impossible for you to move. Let me tell you something. The risen Lord is very, very able, that stone. Hallelujah for that. Out of that this morning. We are here to celebrate the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to celebrate the power of the risen Lord, we're here to celebrate the resurrection from the dead. And Jesus didn't stop with just resurrecting himself, but he has resurrected me from the dead. Hallelujah. He's taken me out of the grave. He's taken me out of darkness and placed me in his marvelous light. Amen. What has he done for you? Has he taken you out of this place, you in his marvelous light? And if it is, then get excited about it.
Amen.
Because why? Because he's that kind of God. That's the power that he has. That's the showing of his you. He loves you so much. He loves that. I don't care what you're involved in right now. I don't care whoever's just watching online. We got a pack of people watching online this morning. I don't care what you've been involved in. And I don't care, please understand when I say I don't care, I do care, but for reference sake, I don't care what it is that you are involved in right now. Now, it will never stop Jesus from loving you.
No, it won't.
It will never stop Jesus from trying to get into your life.
Right.
You know, he is really good creation.
Yeah,
even if you don't want him to, he still managed to come in through the back door. And he goes and taps you on his shoulder, and when you're in a place where it's just like everything's going crazy, and you just you're at that place where you don't know what to do, and it seems like all hell's broke loose in your life, and maybe it has.
Yes.
But I will say this: when all hell has broken open in your life, it is because God has allowed it to happen.
That's right.
Because he's to demonstrate his power in your life. To let you know that it does. All hell can break loose in your life, but I'm going to break loose too. And who's going to win? Hallelujah. Thinks going to win. I tell you, I won over 2,000 years ago when I walked out of that grave. Oh, man, I don't know what it would have been like to be there to actually see Jesus walk out of that grave. And there's no testimony in the scriptures of anybody actually seeing it. But I think if I was else in the garden, munching out on some of the veggies that were in there, or some of those really nice flower stems, and all of a sudden, let's see. Jesus come out, but the stone didn't move. He just walked out. What do you hear in here right now? You hear a big hush. And I believe in even as a mouse, to see Jesus just materialize through the rock and stand there in his majesty. There was not a word even this mouse could have said. But just to stand there next to that stem I just bit off of and look, an awesome wonder. Our living God breathed his last on that cross, so to speak. Breathe his last. I came across something the other day that I thought was really, really good. And it's short, but I'm going to read it to you. It fits in right here. Pontius Pilate speaking to Joseph. Joseph, I really don't understand. You're one of the richest men in the region, and you spent a small fortune on a new tomb for you and your family, and you want to give it to this man, Jesus? Joseph responded, it's just for the weekend. Just for the weekend. Hallelujah. He'll be out of it. I'll have that tomb, but I don't plan on using it. If you want his body, when I've used it and I've breathed my last, you want to put me in that tomb, go right ahead. But I'll tell you right now, the one that had it before me left it clean.
Yes.
And he left his power there. and I believe in him. And my body may be brought in that cave, in that, but I'm going to be with the Lord. That's what Jesus said to the man that was on the cross with him, when he cried out to him and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What kingdom? What did you get him today? You're going to experience the resurrection power. You may be hanging on that cross like I'm hanging on a cross in this sheer pain and this sheer agony, but I want to give you some joy in the midst of this tragedy. I want to give you joy in the midst of you receiving your just reward in this life. But I've got some news for you. And when you breathe your last, you're going to be with paradise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Because you did everything right, but because you did everything wrong except for one thing. Yes. You recognized my lordship in your life. Amen. You realize that thief, that despicable thief, didn't even pray the sinner's prayer.
Or get baptized.
You stay out of this. Not only did he not get baptized, but there's no he even read the scriptures.
Amen.
Nothing in there that said he said the sinner's prayer. There was nothing in there that said that he that he prayed on a regular basis and he had devotions in his life. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Sometimes I like the sinner's prayer, okay? What I'm about to say may put me in that category. I like the sinner's prayer because it kind of covers all the bases. But I also know this. Saying the sinner's prayer ain't going to save you if your heart's not in it.
That's right. That's right.
Just like if your heart is in it, whether you say the sinner's prayer or not. If you're with the Lord, if you've given your heart over to the Lord, you're his.
That's right.
That's what happened with that sinner, that thief that was on a cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, just see Jesus looking over to him. Now, if I was Jesus, hanging in that pain, I'd look at the other one and go, "Eh. Sorry, guy, you got to get with the program. You will be with me in paradise." You see, he never said anything to the other one. Didn't even acknowledge him. Sometimes knowledge, the enemy, too much.
That's right.
Sometimes we give him more due, more attention than we need to. Times we just need to look the other way.
That's right.
And just turn our eyes off of the problem, turn our eyes off of the difficulty, and turn our eyes back on Jesus.
Amen.
You know why? Because Jesus has the power of death and the grave.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That means that his power over death and the grave is now applied to my life. Which means that now I have dwelling with the power over sin and death. The power in me over the grave. Hallelujah. Therefore, I don't fear the fear of death. I don't fear the grave. I'm honest with you. I'm not looking forward to the process. I don't know what the process is going to be like for me. I've been with people where it was long and drawn out. I've been with people where it was short, sweet, to the point when they passed away. I don't know what's going to happen with me, but I do know this, that however that door opens and however it is for me to pass through that, I'm going to pass right into the arms of Jesus.
Right.
That when I stand at that door, I hear him. If I will listen, I can hear him say, "Today, Matthew, you're going to be with me in paradise." Not because of all the good things you did, but because you called me.
That's right.
Because you bow your knee to me. Because you love me. Because you've recognized the love I have for you. See, we're talking, this is resurrection power. We look at the resurrection power, and rightfully so, that Jesus, who was mutilated and then put in the grave, I mean, just the resurrection that he came back to life, it was a creative miracle. Because Isaiah said, in Isaiah 53, he was unrecognizable. He was so tore apart physically, so tore and ripped apart. Cat of nine tails, you know what that is? You know, it's a Roman whip that on the end of every one of those tentacles, there were nine tentacles, at the end of every one was a piece of glass or a piece of bone or chard or something that was tied to the end. So when that came around his waist, then it would let it latch in, then they'd pull it back like that and rip his body apart. Yeah. They did that all over him. Yes. Isaiah said, unrecognizable. And he says in his, I love you with an everlasting love. It lasted through all of what Jesus went through, even before he was put on that cross, before he was nailed on it. It lasted through the whole 9 hours, I think it was, that he hung on that cross before he actually died. Love was so everlasting that it was still in force when they took that lifeless body off that grave, off that cross. Buried him into the Joseph's tomb. But Joseph's tomb was only for the weekend. That love for you was so everlasting that when they laid him in that tomb and they sealed it up, they thought it's just over. He came the next morning to do what? To prepare his body for proper burial. Why? Because they gave up. But his love was everlasting. Hallelujah. And when he was in that grave, the scripture says he was in there for 3 days. Am I right?
Yes.
3 days. Now, it was less than three 24-hour periods because of the way the Jewish calendar and the way they tell time was. But it was a Friday night, but early Sunday morning. But since it was Sunday morning, it was considered a day. During that time, Jesus wasn't in suspension. Yeah, he was on the move.
He was on the move.
I believe because the scriptures tells us in Ephesians that he was put down in the grave, also was raised up. But while he was in that grave, he went down into the depths. And you know what I believe he did? He walked over to the devil himself. He tapped him on the shoulder and he said, "You know something? Lose.
Amen.
You lose." Yes. The tomb is empty. Come and see. Aren't you glad that the tomb is empty?
Yes.
You know, there were five attempts to derail the resurrection. Five attempts to it. There are probably more, but I see five in the scriptures. King Herod was one. The old Pontius paranoid Pope. Try saying that three times as fast as you. I had fun when I came up with that. Pontius paranoid POTUS. He was so afraid that there was a king. He's the one that the three wise men, and they say, "Where's the king? Where's the king?" King. No. There was one just born. There's a star right there. Oh, really? No, he's thinking of himself. There can't be any other king but me. I don't deal well with the competition. So I'll tell you what I want you to do, O wise men. When you find him, come back and tell me where he is so I can go and worship him too. And they found him. Then God said to the wise men, what they say, go back a different way. Don't go back to that pompous Herodotus. Don't go back to him. So they didn't. And Pilate realized what had happened. And he had been deceived. Oh, can you imagine that? The deceiver was deceived. And he ended up doing what? Murdering all the babies from 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the whole surrounding area. But prior to the days before that, let Joseph know that the pompous, paranoid Pontius is going to try and kill this baby. Your son, my son, my son, taken down to Egypt. So he did. You see, God's plan always excels. It didn't happen. There was no derailing of the resurrection. Satan the deceiver came in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, where he came and he said, and Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the deceiver, Satan, came to him knowing that Jesus was hungry. He even said he was hungry. You try fasting for 40 days. I made it past 10 days once. And I'll tell you, I would have eaten in a glass of this pulpit. I was so hungry. Oh, man, I tell you. Even lentil stew would have looked good. I can't stand lentils. So Satan said, I know who you are. I know the power you have. All you have to do is to speak to these stones and they'll turn into bread. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, Satan did everything he could to try and derail the resurrection. He did everything he could to get Jesus to bow to him. He even took him up on a pinnacle and said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. All of these I have the authority to you. If you will but just bow down and worship me. Just once. That's all it will take. Just one time and you can have it all. And Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only. You see, he tried to get Jesus to sin. And this man, as a man, knew no sin. The scripture is very clear about that. But tried to cause him to sin. You see, the devil can't make you do anything. He can't twist your arm behind your back and force you to do anything. When you sin, when I sin, I'll leave you out of it, okay? I know you're all heavenly saints. But I'll just talk about me. When I sin, it is because I chose to. I'll be point honest with you. I am a sinner. I fall short of the glory of God. If you don't believe me, ask Kathy. She'll tell you. But I will also tell you, she's a sinner too. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. And when she sins, or when I sin, we say, come to God, seek his forgiveness, is graceful. And he forgives us of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we have that. But see, Jesus couldn't sin, because if he did, then he would not be the sacrificial lamb of God to take away our sins. Because the only way he could take it away is if he was sinless. Which he was when he entered that grave. Hallelujah. And he resurrected from it. All right, the chief, the Sanhedrin, Palm Sunday, Luke chapter 19. Wicked and secure men that they, and they said to Jesus, as he's coming to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and everybody's going, hallelujah, hallelujah, and they're rejoicing over him. The one time. And all of the scriptures prior to that, this is the first time that Jesus openly received the people's worship. Every other time he said, no, not yet. You need to see the Father. Look to the Father. You got to understand, though, that in order to get to him, you got to come through me. But that one time, when he's coming down on a donkey, he openly received the worship of the and the Sanhedrin said, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them. Stop them. See, that in itself would have been a sin for Jesus to stop the people from worshiping him. And what did Jesus say to them? If I was to have them silent, the very stones will cry out. They won't cry out, as we learned last week. They won't cry out in worship. They'll cry out in an open rebuke to you for silencing God's people. There's going to come a time when this world's going to face an open rebuke from the Holy Spirit of God for trying to silence God's people. We win. I know. I read the back of the book. Right now I'm in the middle of the book. I'm in the middle of the heat of the battle. And sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle, you don't see the victory. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. Because in the back of the book, it says that we win. It says that we're all victorious. Serve the risen King. Hallelujah. Yep. He's victorious and he dwells within me. And me, then I'm victorious too. I may not act like it all the time. I may not believe it all the time. I may not look like it all the time. But that doesn't take away from the sheer fact that I am victorious in Christ. I am not a victim. I am not a victim. I am victorious. There's too many people in the body of Christ walking around going, I am a victim, I am a victim, I am a victim, I am a victim. You know what they did to me? That person did to me. And what they made me miserable. And I just don't know what to do about it. And so sick and tired of what they did in my life. And I just have to live with this for the rest of my life. And no, you don't. You don't.
No, you don't.
The devil will come. You have to. It's like the devil tried to convince Jesus to worship him. See, when I am going, I'm saying all that about people who did me in and did me wrong, and I just have to live with this for the rest of my life. What you're doing is worshiping the devil. His way. Backdoor worship. Let me tell you something. You are victorious. You have Jesus Christ dwelling within your heart, then you are victorious.
Amen.
And it's time for God's people to say, I have victory in Jesus. Whatever that is that keeps trying to drag you down, you need to go over and put your feet on it. And make the proclamation, I am victorious. You have no place in my life. You have no power in my life anymore. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm not going to worship the enemy, because when I allow you to have that power over me, that's what I'm doing, is worshiping the enemy. I'm going to worship God and God alone. And in order to do that, it means I need to put you in your place. I am not your victim. I am God's victorious man of God. I am God. I am the victorious woman of God. Hallelujah. You are a man or a woman that is victorious. You are not a victim. Now I get off my soapbox on that. Many ways that the devil, I told you there was five of them. I don't even know where I am in my notes now. Simon Peter, unknowns to him, operated in the flesh, that could have derailed the resurrection. When they came to arrest Peter, arrest Jesus in the garden, what did Peter do? Grabbed a sword. I'm going to defend my Lord. And he went and he took a swipe at the high priest's servant and cut his ear off. Now some of you go, wow, that was really something. You know what that says to me? He was a lousy swordsman. I'm standing right there. He's defending his Lord. He's got his sword. The sword was about this long. And all you could do is cut his ear off. Well, think about it. That's really, really pretty bad. That's like if a deer was sitting right here, and I've got a 30-30, and I go like this, I put a hole in his ear. That's a pretty poor shot. If he wasn't going to eat him, I'm going to eat the deer. Billy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you, you guys get me off on these rabbit trails.
Yeah, it's our fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault. It is. Thank you. Cut his ear off. What a lot of people don't understand, you know, when Jesus came over to him, he says, even this to happen, healed that servant's ear. Creative miracle, create a new ear there. I don't think he picked it up, ear up off the ground, dusted it off and went, spit on it, stuck it back to his head. He created a new ear. He healed him. And you know why? Because for Peter to attack the high priest's servant was a capital punishment. I just read this a couple weeks ago. It was fascinating to me to read that. Jesus knew it was a capital punishment. You know what capital punishment meant?
Yeah.
Capital punishment means it means use your life for the crime you just committed.
Exactly.
When Jesus healed that man's ear, two things happened. Number one, he blessed that servant. Because it really wasn't the servant's problem. He was there as a slave of the high priest. But the second thing that happened was that Jesus got rid of all the evidence. And Peter couldn't be charged.
Except maybe the ear on the ground.
Yeah, but the servant stand in there for the whole... So you have to ask the question, where'd the ear come from? Where'd the ear come from?
DNA test.
The fact is he got rid of the evidence. He couldn't be charged because there's no crime. God is so good. Jesus said, "Put your sword away, because if you don't live by that thing, you're going to die by it." I need to follow through with this, Peter. All the way to the resurrection. If we stop now, and you prevent me from being arrested, there'll be no crucifixion. If there's no fiction, there'll be no resurrection. This must come to pass. Leave it alone, Peter. Then you have Pontius Pilate. Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. And even Pilate's wife counseled him, don't have anything to do with this guy. I suffered in a dream last night.
Yeah.
I suffered so much in a dream last night. I have nothing to do with this guy. And Pontius Pilate may have been the... But he wanted to live to listen to her. It might have been the only time in his life he ever listened to her. I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't know what their relationship was as husband and wife. But she came to him and said, "You don't have anything to do with him. Because whatever comes your way because of him and how you deal with it, I'm going to have to suffer it too. I have nothing to do with him." So Pilate said in John chapter 18, verse 31 and 32, Pilate said to them, "You take him and you judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put to death." Right there, they're telling Pilate exactly what their intent was. "But we can't do that. It's against the law for us to put this man to death. Only you can do that." Who said that? What'd you say? Yeah, but that was different. That was just out of a fit of anger, you know. And nobody else was around.
Yeah.
But they missed.
Yeah.
Bad shot again. In Luke chapter 23, verse 6 and 7, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he had belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, because Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Sent him to Herod. But Herod sent him back. I mean, Pilate couldn't get rid of this guy. He figured he'd just get him out, send him over to Herod. It's his problem, not mine. And he sent him back. In chapter 19, verses 1 and verse 4, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Pilate then went out again and said to them, all the people, he says, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Pilate is trying to get out of this. I find no fault in him. But what did they do? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate washed his hands, literally a bowl of water, and washed his hands, a ceremonial act of, this is not my problem, this is yours. I wash my hands of this man, you take him and do with him as you please. He gave them permission to go ahead and crucify him. But God's plan always excels. All the above was to defeat the sole purpose of the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, why did Jesus come in the first place? Because there is sin in the camp. What camp? His camp. His creation. Why did he live amongst us? Because there is sin in the camp. He came down to us and he dwelt among those sinners to show, not that he would just hobnob with them, not that he just would turn the other cheek and look the other way and let them do what they wanted to do. He came down to show them that as God, he loves them so much that he will meet them right where they're at.
That's right.
Listen to me. You don't have to clean your life up to come to God. If you will just understand, as you are sitting in that chair right now, you may have your life may be all messed up. You may be doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You know you shouldn't be. Guess what? God's sitting right next to you with his arm around you, saying, come to me. You are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I won't give you peace in your sin. I'll give you the rest that will get you out of that sin and bring you into my marvelous light. Hallelujah for that. Why was he falsely accused? Because of the sin in the camp. Why crucified? Because there was sin in the camp. Why was he, being a dead man, taken off the cross and placed in the grave? Because there was sin in the camp. But the beauty about the resurrection, and I will close with this thought. Why was he resurrected? Because he beat the chains of hell and took the power of the sin that is in the camp and sealed it in the grave. He didn't put sin in the grave. He put the power of sin in the grave.
That's right.
Then sealed it. Hallelujah. You know what that's saying? As I'm saying, because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, sin has no power over you. The only power it will have over you is the power you give it.
That's right.
The only power that sin can have over you is the power you hand it. And if you hand it to him, you also have the power to take it back. Hallelujah. We all have been guilty of handing over the power of sin to the devil in our life. Well, we also have the power to take it back.
Right.
Why? Because greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Because the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because power dwelling within me, that means I have power over the enemy.
Right.
It may be a fight. It may be tooth and nail fight right up to the day I die. But stop fighting. There are times it's a battle, but I'm going to win the war. There may be times when the skirmish is getting me down, and I may feel pushed down and just diminished down to almost a nothing. But I'll tell you, God has resurrection power. And time again in my life, He has taken me when I've gotten down into the dust of the ground, and He's resurrected me back up.
Yes.
And He's put my feet back on the ground, and He has said to me, "Okay, Matthew, you messed up, you sinned, I forgive you, let's do it again. Come on, let's try this again. Come on, I am your Father, I am your Creator, I am your Maker, and I am the one who instilled my power in you. So come on, let's find the key to unlock that power that I have put in you. I want to unlock that power in you so that you can flow with me in the power of the Holy Spirit."
Right.
Hallelujah for that. Praise God. Praise God for that. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy today. Why? Because of the resurrection. Paul was very, very clear. Very clear. Now I forget where it was. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, if there is no... In fact, turn with me there. This is my second closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read, starting at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, we may not say there's resurrection, no resurrection, but sometimes we live that way. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. In other words, if there's no resurrection of the dead, why am I standing here? Blowing hot air. Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He has raised Christ up, whom He did not raise up, if the dead do not rise. And if the dead rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Please understand. It's not just the cross. The cross is very, very necessary. But so is the resurrection. They're equally necessary. You have to have the two coupled together. 2 + 2 = 4 does not equal 3. You know what I mean? You have to have the cross and you have to have the empty tomb. If you have the cross and a filled tomb, then we got a problem. If you got an empty tomb but no cross, we got a problem. The two have got to come together. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is in your faith that is futile, you are still in your... Then also those who have asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And that word pitiable in a Greek means full of misery and wretchedness. But I love verse 20. But now, say that with me, but now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Hallelujah. But Christ is risen from the dead.
Yes.
Praise God for that. Let's stand up and praise God this morning. He is risen from the dead. And we are no longer slaves of sin. We're no longer slaves of unrighteousness. We're a people that have been set free.
Yes.
Say, I am victorious.
I am victorious.
I am not a victim.
I am not a victim.
I refuse to be a victim.
I refuse to be a victim.
I choose to be victorious.
I choose to be victorious.
I will be victorious.
I will be victorious.
In Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus.
From this day
forward.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you.
Yes.
Lord, I just bless these people this morning. As we celebrate your graciousness, we celebrate your resurrection power, we celebrate you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Yes, Father.
That the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and then he give you peace.
Yes.
The peace that surpasses all
yes.
understanding that will guard your heart,
yes.
your mind through Jesus.
Jesus,
yes. the risen King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, everybody, just say, I believe in Jesus. I receive Jesus. Right now, as my Lord. As my Savior. I confess my sins. I turn from my sins. And I turn to you, Lord. I receive you as my Lord and Savior today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If you need prayer, come on up. We're going to close with a song. There is no fellowship hour afterwards because I know families get togethers and all that stuff this afternoon. I pray that you will celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today. God is good. He loves you with an everlasting love. I don't know what else to say. I've said a lot this morning. But I do want, if there's anything you get out of this message today, please understand this. Jesus went through everything he went through for the divine and an express purpose to draw you to himself.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Without hope, without light, till from heaven you the only night we could get him, and that he's free. So he's going to be here on May 9th at 7 p.m. And we're excited about that. Last thing is in your church directory, in your book, you should have gotten a form to fill out to be in the new church directory. We're in the process of making a new one. If you're in it already, then fine. But just fill it out so I make sure that I've got everything correct. All right? So that's the bulletin right now. When you fill it out and then put it in the offering box, and then I'll get it. Yes?
So if we're already in a church directory, we don't need to keep filling that out unless there's something different?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, you don't have to continue to fill it. But if there's something wrong in the church directory, now there was a couple of mistakes that I had made before. What can I say? Then I need to have that, because I'm not going to figure it out. I get that, I'll do it. If I don't get it, I don't change anything. With that, Tom, why don't you come on up and open us up in prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, praise God. Awesome morning today, amen. Praise God, because we're to the Lord. Lord says, are we ready? Okay, yes, very good, very good. Psalm 107, 1 through 9. Thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. Okay, starting with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, this fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. You know, isn't that the way of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. And he led forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that the men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. Please bow your head and join me in prayer. Dear Lord, and awesome of your presence, Father God, we thank you for being here. I know you're everywhere, very busy, Father God. I know it's a busy day for you, Father God, but you know you dwell in the body of Christ at large, I'm sure they have a sensitivity of spirit and everywhere in this world. And Father God, we're all need people. We need you, and like you say, you come at all of us like a brother or a friend. So help us stay close to you during these times, even during our trials, which. That's a way of life. We're unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, those times too. We experience things, we grow in them, we get through them and say, why am I, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for carrying me through that, because I can't do it on our own. And you know, a lot of times we need to come to that point. I can't do it on my own. So you look to Christ. Your eyes are on him. That's why it's such a narrow path that leads to him. And that's one day at a time. Don't forget that. Don't look that far ahead. The idea here is that day. Today's that day, type of day. Rejoice and be glad in it. It's we're blessed that type of day. Where others are overseas, hiding down in their basements. And what they're doing is trying to praise the Lord and secretly without being under attack. Some of them are. They're hiding from. So I know God's protect those people, Lord God. But God, too, Israel, protect them as situations rose a little bit this week. And some... almost like warfare type of thing. But anyway, Lord, I know you do that land. That's yours, Lord Jesus. So take care of them, please. And once again, take care of your people here, minds, our hearts. Be thankful for the things that we have. It says, this one. It says, count your blessings this side of heaven. Do that. We're so grateful for God, for you doing those things that we have. The things that maybe come naturally, you say, well, so what? No, it means a lot. Everything, every little thing Stay hungry for him during this times right now. Close to him in prayer, in the word, daily. Of all the things that we get by, you know, one day at a time, that's why he said, so we can pray up and get involved with the Lord in that particular day where you're working or whatever, or grocery stores, or you're traveling, vacation, or whatever. Where you are, there he is. He's faithful. He will continue doing what he says he does. And you know, his endurance, that was really something, what he took on. And something that you will never forget. You know, if we don't, you know, Mary, just going through, we're still part of that Easter season. But the thing is to don't ever forget what he's done, thinking our eyes on him, because he, what he's done there, he already did the same yesterday, today, and forever. He takes everything, and there's nothing too difficult for him. Still sits at the right hand of the Father in the interview for each and every one here. He's individuals, families, the body of Christ here at Grace, everywhere. Wherever we go, he will not forsake you. That's what only likes to say, promise. But there's many other, and you're gonna, if you're not used to that, get used to it by reading the Word. He's equipped you for everything. You're even gonna, and pray up as you're praying up. You're looking for something. Maybe you're stepping out in faith, and you want to do something. Pray up for that, and then expect Him to equip you. He has done that before, probably. I'm sure anybody could share what happened in their past. Okay, just think about where you were 4 or 5 years ago and where you are today. You're sitting here this morning and you're hungry for the word. You get fed. And we lift up our path, Pastor Matt Whirl. Your heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him like rivers of living water. Now we need to grasp what's on board for us to receive. And then go to those highways and byways. Whether today, whatever time and day is open for you to do those type of things. You've been praying for something. Expect things to happen in a good way. So it's good gifts. He loves his people. And we could call ourselves children. Well, we don't be 100. We don't have to be, well, even if we're younger. You know, some people come on, they know the Lord and Savior, and they're babies in Christ. They get fed that way for a time and a season, and the meetings. We absorb everything as we get older, get more experienced. And then we are sharing things, and we're on fire, you know, and hopefully that fire never goes out. So we lift all these things up in your name this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning,
Reverend. Good morning. We have the privilege of taking... Before we do so, we'll pray. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for who you are and what you do, and pray you would do a work in us, Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts to follow. We ask it in Jesus' name. If you want to follow along, I'm going to be reading out of Hebrews 10. Starting at verse 10. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Remember earlier we sang we have the victory? We do. For by one offering he has perfected for all time and those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them. Then he says, their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offer sin. The other night, my wife and I were movie. Believe it or not, it was Christian science fiction. It was called Time Changer. Now, we know it's possible with God, not with us. It was set in the 1890s, and this professor at a seminary was writing a book, and he asked for the board of the seminary to endorse the book to get it published. And one professor wanted to call him aside and talk to him before they took a vote on the endorsement. He wouldn't, so right in front of everybody, they had this big knockdown, drag out, and feelings were hurt and all the whole nine yards. You know how it goes. It's human nature. But anyways, the dean of the school told this professor that wrote the book to go to this other professor and talk it out with him and see if they could come to an agreement. And the professor that agreed, his father was an inventor and made a time machine. And he had traveled back in it and seen, or traveled forward and seen in the 1990s exactly where the church was compared to the 1890s. Now, I don't know about you, but that would scare me. I mean, I've read a lot of the church history, you know, the Moravians, how they came here and, you know, the whole nine yards, and the church has strayed so far. Now, we've watered down the gospel. We've watered down Jesus Christ. And that was the point that the disagreeing professor was trying to make, was that we can teach morals and morality and rules and regulations and everything, but if Jesus isn't involved, there is no change. In fact, there may even be change for the worse. We're all rule breakers. You know what? It's in our nature. You tell me I can't do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So, this professor went forward in time, he saw what happened to the church, and he came back, and he came into agreement, and he rewrote his manuscript saying that Jesus is the basis for everything. I mean, he is our all in all. So I want to read with you a daily meditation that I did out of Hebrews 10. Instructions on most shampoo bottles tell users to wash, rinse, and repeat. Sometimes, called the poo algorithm, these words, especially the third one, repeat, have probably earned more money for the makers of their hair products than anything else their marketing departments have ever written. The author of Hebrews may seem to harp on the fact that sacrifices of the law were repeated, but this is an essential point in the author's argument for the superiority of Christ. The offerings of the priesthood were by necessity a daily occurrence. The fact that they had to be made again and again was proof that those sacrifices could never take away sin. Jesus' priesthood is different. Instead of sacrifice repeatedly, he offered for all time one sacrifice for sin. That was himself. He sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus' work is final. Two facts say permanence of Jesus' offering. One is that Jesus is now at rest, waiting his enemies to be made his footstool. The other is the effect of sacrifice upon those who believe. By one sacrifice, Jesus has been perfect forever, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, sanctified. Although we continue to grow in holiness, our obedience adds nothing to what Christ has already done. He provided a perfect righteousness that cannot be improved upon. Those who have been given Christ must learn to practice this righteousness. This work of the Holy Spirit, also known as sanctification, brings the perfection Jesus has given to us as a gift into our daily experience. God puts his law in our hearts and writes it on our minds, but sanctification always begins with forgiveness and justification through Christ. Where there has been forgiveness, there is no longer any need for advice. Time and time and time again, virtually every time we have a service here, someone says we need to spend time in the Word. And it's essential. I say this to especially the group that were just baptized. We need to spend time in the Word because that's how God says laws on our hearts and in our minds. I mean, I'm guilty. I stray away from it. Don't spend enough time in it. But if you don't spend any time in it, you set aside time daily, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, but set some time aside. Word of God in your head and let it ruminate there. Go round and round. I mean, spin around in my mind all the time. That brings me to the last thing I have to share with you, and that's the Shema. That was the basic law for the Israelites. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Word of God is paramount in our lives, and we need to spend time in it. And that is the way that we learn exactly the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. If I could have us come forward. And while they're doing that, I remind you that communion is for believers, and parents, you know when your children are ready. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross, how your body was broken for us. Lord, we do this in your memory. Take and eat. Lord, your word says that without blood, there is no remission of sin. We thank you that you spilled your blood for us. Take and drink. Lord, we thank you that you forgive our messes, literally and figuratively.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you, Rick. We're going to pray and dismiss children for children. And I have a word this morning that's been really just weighing in my heart for the last several days. Father, we thank you for your word. And I do ask, Father, that for our children, that you bless them in Children's Church this morning. That your word will go forth in strength and in power with them.
Yes.
And Lord, it will go in strength and power in us. Yes. Right here in this place, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, you are dismissed for Children's Church. If you will turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Today and next week, we will finish out this book. Been a real powerful book. And it's no less powerful this morning, what God has here in the first 9 verses. So if you're there in 2 Peter chapter 3, you can read along with me. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. You may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord was a thief in the night. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I ask that you will speak to us this morning.
Yes.
Lord, there is a lot in this that we pay attention to. Lord God, I pray that you will speak to us this morning. I present, Lord, myself. I am a broken, cracked vessel. Yet I need to be filled to overflowing by your Spirit. And I confess to you, Lord, I cannot do this without you. So, Lord, use me and anoint our ears to hear what you are saying by your Spirit's name. Amen. Now, the end of chapter 2 of 2 Peter was talking about those in verse 21. He says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her the wallowing of her mire. Peter was talking about those who have tasted the gift, that they had read the word, they have been ministered to by the word of God, that the Spirit of God has been imparted to them, and then they still turn and walk away. I think that would be impossible, but let me tell you something, and it's not impossible. Except for by the grace of God, there go I. It is easy to turn away from the Lord. You may think it's not because you're really basking in His presence and honestly have something go on it that really just blows the water out. And then it's easy it is to turn away and turn into our own misery. He went on to chapter 3. He said, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle." He's saying this is the second time I've written you. Basically speaking the same things. We went through for weeks through 1 Peter. And now here we are in 2 Peter. He says, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your mind by the way of reminder." Do you realize this morning the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, is not to tickle your heart or to tickle your ears, but it's to stir you up.
That's right.
It's to stir you up for ways of righteousness. It's to stir you up for you to hunger for the word of God and for the Lord himself. It's to stir you up. Let me ask you something. I like to cook. And I'm not too bad of a cook because Kathy's still alive. I realize it says you can eat any deadly thing and it won't harm you. But also the scripture also says test not your God. Now one of the things I really love to make, and Kathy absolutely loves it, is when I make cornmeal waffles. And I make them from scratch. You know? I make them from scratch. And I make them. Now, if I put all of the ingredients into the bowl and then took those ingredients with a spoon and put it onto the griddle, what would I have? Us. You see, you have to stir them up. You have to stir all the ingredients up so that they begin to blend together into this wonderful batter that when put onto the fire, it produces these cornmeal waffles, and I'll tell you, I'm not afraid to say it. I love them too. They're good. They're good. But see, what Peter is saying here is that we need to stir up the pure mind way of reminder. I want to take the word of God, and I want it to stir it up in your spirit. I want to take the voice of God and stir it up in your spirit. I take the ways of the Lord and stir it up, spirit, so that what happens is you take that beautiful batter and then the fire comes down upon it and you get a godly man, a godly woman that wants the purposes of the Lord.
Right, right.
No, he doesn't turn into a waffle. But he will turn you into a powerhouse. If you allow the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word and getting into the word of God, Rick, it is said almost every Sunday here, get it in the word of God. This is life blood. What introduces you to Jesus, this to what tells you what he did on the cross, this is what feeds you. Stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of those which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So here is saying, be mindful, stir up. I want to stir up your minds. That's what I want to do. I want to stir up your mind, that you may be mindful. Mindful, you know what mindful is? It means to remember attentively. It means to pay close attention to what is being said. Be mindful of these words which were spoken for by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior. Peter had said it earlier in this very letter in 2 Peter chapter 1, 21. If you just flop the page back and look at that. Peter said, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God said they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And my cross reference to that is 1 Kings chapter 22. If you turn with me there, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 4 through 8. 1 Kings 22, 2. Verses 4 through 8. So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me and fight at Ramoth Gilead?" This is Ahab speaking. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire of the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. These were prophets that always prophesied in such a way that it made Ahab feel good. Have you ever read the word of God and it not make you feel good?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that part of that didn't feel good. The tendency is to do this. Turn the page. No, I don't want to deal with that. No, turn the page. No, listen to what God is saying in his word. The whole council. But King Ahab surrounded himself with 400 prophets that just would tickle his ears. He said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead and to fight? Or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, see, he had discernment. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may serve him?" Jehoshaphat was saying, "I hear what they're all saying, but I'm not hearing the voice of God. That's what I need to hear. Is there still a true prophet? And Ahab said, "Oh yeah, there's this one guy. His name is Micaiah. But he never says anything good to me. I don't like him. I don't like him at all." See, we need to pay attention to the true word of God. Because God, when he says a difficult thing, he's saying it to preserve your life. He's saying it to strengthen you. Back in our text, for prophecy never, verse 21 shared, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the very Spirit of God." Hallelujah. Be mindful of these words which were spoken or by the holy prophets, which we see that just saw from Jehoshaphat, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Savior. Jude chapter, verse 17 speaks again of the very thing, about the importance of listening to the apostles. Knowing this first, verse 3, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. You know what that word scoffer means? In the Greek, it means a mocker. It is specifically spoken of the false prophets. That word scoffers. That's how God sees the false. He's the false prophet, a scoffer, one who mocks, that who makes fun of. And those will, from the false prophets of that day to the false prophets of this day, will fall under the judgment. Of the Lord God Almighty. I don't have to. God will take care of it. Hallelujah. What I need to do is make sure that I put my ears to the true prophet. That I'm putting my ears to the true word of God. That I'm listening to that which is going to feed my spirit leads me to a walk of holiness and a walk of righteousness. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." The title of this message is God is not a slacker. A better one. That's what's in your bulletin. A better one that I came up with after I wrote the bulletin was a shot across the bow. You know what a shot across the bow means? It's a nautical term. Where if there's a boat that is approaching, let's say we have a warship out in the Mediterranean, and this other comes that close by from an opposing, we're not at war, but an opposing country, let's say Iraq or Iran. And our ship fires a warning shot. It's a warning shot across the bow. The bow. Say that again?
We could hit you, but we didn't.
That's right. It's a shot across the bow. I could have hit you, but I didn't. I'm giving you one fair warning. That's what this message is. It's fair warning. Please listen to what God is saying through His Word this morning. This is a shot across the bow to all of us. Saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue. They were from the beginning of creation. You know what is happening here? The Word of God says Jesus is coming again, doesn't it?
Yes.
It says it time and time again. Old Testament prophets into the New Testament prophets into Revelation. Jesus Christ is coming again. And we are so close. I believe in my heart, we are so close. But I'm just saying, why are you so worried about it? Things continue along as it always has. It says here, ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know what they're doing? They are taking away the Word of God. But yes, things have continued along ever since then. But that doesn't change God's Word. It doesn't change God's promises. Sometimes God makes you wait. Sometimes He makes me wait. Do you like it when God says wait? No. But remember, even though things continue as they were, the who governs that is the Jesus Christ. And He determined the day of judgment. So the devil tries to cause doubt in the validity of God's Word. And whenever we allow doubt to enter into us about the validity of the Word of God, what happens? The next step is you become God. Because if I can't trust God, then what can I trust? Me. So my life becomes everything about me. You see, my life is to be lived for Jesus. He is supposed to inhabit me. And I know from many, many years of the Spirit of God inhabiting this person, that He's still cleaning house.
Yeah.
He's still fighting. Why do you guys say it so?
Well, because they're
plotting.
Yeah.
He's picking. See, that's another area He's still cleaning up on me, because I like to pick on people. Verse 5. They willfully, this is talking about the scoffers. This is talking about false prophets. This is talking about the ones who will try to lure you away or be used by the enemy to lure you away from the power of God. For this they willfully forget. Circle in your Bible, if you write in your Bible, the word willfully. What that means is purposefully. Why is it so easy to willfully forget the Word of God? You'll find it in Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. All things are naked unto the eyes of Him to whom must give account. So many will neglect the Word of God because the Word of God is so powerful, but it reveals your true heart. And most people, many people, I'm sure nobody in here or watching online, but we don't want really to be exposed. We try to hide things from each other. But you can't hide things from God.
No, you can't.
And the Word of God will reveal things about you, to you, that you may not want. Because we can hide. We try to fool other people. We're really good at fooling ourselves, too. You know? But the Word of God is living and is powerful. And is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut you deep. I had cancer in 2008. And you know what the surgeon did? He cut me deep. It was not fun. I'm glad he put me out. I laid there. I don't know if anybody, I'm sure there's others here that had surgery and they're going to knock you out, you know. I was going to fight it. And I was like this. And even the anesthesiologist looked at me and he said these words. He said, night, night, night. Night, night. And I looked at him and I said, I'm not going to night. And then I woke up to some excruciating pain because he cut me deep. Why? There was a cancer in there that he had to get out because that cancer was going to kill me. So I had a doctor who told me that cancer is in you and we deal with it, because if we don't deal with it, you've got 1, maybe 2 years at the most to live. Those are frightening words. So I cut me deep. Get that thing out of me. Get that tumor of me. Whatever you got to do, get it out of me. And we prayed. And you need to remember that the Word of God is surgical steel to the Christian.
Right.
Not just to people of the world, but to the Christian. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, or dividing a soul and your spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open. Eyes of him to whom give account. You know what I laid on that table? I'm glad I was out cold. Before I actually passed out, was knocked out, I'm looking around, people milling around, and beautiful nurses and all that, they really wanted to care for me, and they all had their different jobs to do. They're talking to me, you know, as an anesthesiologist is getting ready to put me to sleep. And on, I was laying there, and then I realized, you know, I've got just this gown on, but there ain't nothing else on underneath. And when they knock me out, they're going to remove that gown. And here I am going to be laid on that table, exposed to everybody that's in that room. I'm glad I was out. Because that would have been really interesting. They didn't care what it looked like. What they cared was to be the used, some by God, others by others, but their sole purpose, not to gawk at this funny-looking naked pastor, but to do the surgery necessary to save my life. You see, that's what Jesus wants to do when it comes to the Word of God. It's necessary, and if you don't take it, you'll lose your life. Let's go back to the... For this they really forget that by the word the heavens were of old, and the earth out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Hallelujah. For For this they willfully forget. Please, if there's anything, I'm not going to preach this whole message I planned on this morning. I'm just getting a check in my spirit by the Lord to save this verse 7, 8, 9 for next week. But please, listen to what God is saying this morning. Listen to the shot across the bow. Some under the sound of my voice, you're in a dangerous place. You're coming a little closer to the enemy. And God is causing a shot to go out. Don't get any closer. Turn. Turn. I don't know who you are. I don't know if it's just somebody online. I don't know, but I do. I just sense this so much in my spirit. I've sensed it for the last several days as I prayed and labored in the Word and studying and trying to put this all together. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of her and in the water. This is the creation of God. Don't fall into the trap of what they continue on as they are continuing on, and probably will for the rest of my life, which may be true, but may not. You and I do not know. Even Jesus said, day and the hour, you're not going to know, but the times and the seasons you should be aware of.
Right.
And the day and the hour, I know. But I'll tell you right now, when Jesus comes again, and if I'm still alive, I want to catch me doing something wrong for him than doing nothing. At least I'm trying to have his word circumcise my heart. At least I'm paying attention to his word, not just the easy ones and the really exciting part of his word, but the nuts and bolts of what he is trying to cause in me so I can have a holiness and a walk of righteousness. Purposeful reason for even being here on this earth. Each and every one of us were created for a specific purpose. Every one of us. And I don't know what it is. It took me too long to figure it out for myself. I can't figure it out for you. And don't expect to. But this I do know. That if you are willing to really press in, not just, well, everything's been going the way it is ever since time began, and nothing changed, you know. My father's fell asleep, and so my father fell asleep, my grandfather fell asleep, my great-great-grandfather fell asleep. All of the great-great ones that I've had have fallen asleep, which means they died. Things have continued on as they are. My father built half of Kennedy Square, Pennsylvania. That may not mean to you, but Kennedy Square, Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital of the world. And if you go to Kennedy Square, Pennsylvania on a spring day, it smells like it. Because you know what they grow mushrooms in? My father built over half of that city in his construction business. You go down there right now and you mention my father's name, Sharpless William Worrell, they go, who's that? Who's that? Why? Because time's going by. And everything still remains the same, even when authors have died. And the same will happen with me. If the Lord is to tarry another 100 years and I end up breathing my last on this earth and I die and I go home to be with him, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for that assurance. But 20, 30 years, 40 years later, most people are not going to remember me. The only reason we remember people like D.L. Moody and Smith Wigglesworth and all that, because it were written about them. And some will read those books. But understand this. Knowing this, for in this first offers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they really forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. From the beginning of creation, when God created the water, created the lands, and causes the lands to rise up and separate the different waters that we now know, Pacific Ocean, Indian Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, all of that. And it's all remained the same. But in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, to have his say. And there's going to be a time when that happens, that the sheep are going to be separated goats. The wheat is to be separated from the chaff, from the tares. And it's going to happen.
Yes, it will.
So I ask you this morning, where do you stand? Are you wheat or are you tares? Are you in the Word of God or just out the Word of God? Are you walking with Jesus, or are you walking hoping he's walking with you? You see, I don't want it on my side. I want it on his.
Amen.
Big difference. Big difference. Jesus died on that cross for the sole purpose of causing you or giving you the opportunity to be able in close fellowship with the Father. Because without that cross and without Jesus being in your life, you have no fellowship with the Father, because he will have no fellowship with unrighteousness. He will have no fellowship with sin. That's why all of the world's sins were laid upon Jesus, and he hung on that cross and he cried out, Father, why are you freak me. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? It's because the Father could have nothing to do with the unrighteousness that Jesus had laid upon him. He who knew no sin became sin then, so that you could become the righteousness of God.
That's right.
Do you hear? Yes. So that you could become. It doesn't mean you're automatically not grandfathered in.
No, it isn't.
You can't get there on my coattails.
Nope.
I can't get there on yours.
No, you can't.
Between me and him, and it's between you and him, and that's where it stays. So I ask you this morning, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord? Do you know that when you breathe your last, you're gonna be going with him? Do you know that when Jesus comes again, he's gonna take you up to himself?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
oh, I've always wanted to fly. I do. I look at eBay. You know, on eBay and or Facebook Marketplace, there's some fantastic small planes for
jetpacks.
Yeah, I mean, for only like $60,000-$70,000, you know, and look at them, and I go scroll through, look at all the pictures and the cockpit and everything that's in there. I go, wow, I would really like that. I would really really love to fly. The only time I'm really ever really going to fly is when Jesus takes me back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Lord, come quickly. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I do pray, Father, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray it divides asunder our soul and our spirit and marrow, and will be the discernment of the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Father, everything is laid bare before you. We may try to hide things from each other, but we hide nothing from you. Not anything. And that's fine with you, Lord, because you want to see everything, because there are things you want to deal with in our lives. So I pray, Father. And Lord, I'm just I just really feel prompted to do this. I do this often. But if you would like to pray along with me, then just pray. Just pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you into my heart.
I need you.
I can't save myself. I can't stop sinning.
I need your power.
I need it now in my life. I confess I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you now as my Lord. Lord, I know you're receiving me now as your son or daughter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then hallelujah. Can you raise your hand if you did. If that's the first time you prayed that, raise your hand. If you're home, watching, raise your hand. I can't see you, but God sees you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And contact us at the end of, those of you online, at the end of this service, there's going to be a screen that's going to come up with a telephone number for the church. I want you to call us and let us know, and we'll send you a Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Yes.
I pray for this morning, Lord, that is struggling with really getting into your word, because your word can be scary. I pray, Father, for a Holy Ghost boldness.
Yes.
To get deep into your word.
Yes.
And to listen to the voice of God. And then obedient to what they read and what they hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise
Thank
God.
You.
Yes.
Remember those walls that we caught sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are up now. Remember those lions we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, this is what he does. He saves us. Over the cross, beat the grave, and heaven and earth proclaims our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Once did he fail, and he never will. This is our God, this is who he is. He loves us. This is our God, but this is what he does. He saves us. Before the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Who pulled me out of that? He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who pulled me out of that pit? He did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus. Who ran me from that grave? Yahweh. Who's the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus. Who rescued me from that grave? Yahweh. Who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Him. This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. The cross beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our King Jesus.
Before you all go, I have a quick announcement. So it's been on my heart really, really heavily to go out and hit the streets and evangelize. And so I'm asking for volunteers. I want to start next week. And every second Sunday of the month, I want us to go out. And I don't have everything organized exactly yet, but no matter what, we just pair up, we go out, and we bring the gospel.